He might be one of the lucky ones.
Okay, this is our last workshop today, and it's just me and Theodos here. And Theodos, I think, is going to do most of the talking. I'm going to do most of the questioning, perhaps with your help. I know some of you are interested in boat building. And Theodos is from Steinhatchee. He fishes, he builds boats, sings songs real well, and probably does a lot of other things well, too. And as many of you know, here at the festival in the Maritime Folklife area, he's demonstrating the building of a particular type of boat. And I think those of you who have traveled around the coast of Florida and the rivers have seen many different types of boats. They often vary from place to place and over time as well. And one of the most distinctive types of boats is the type that Theodos builds. And they're especially common around the upper Gulf Coast of Florida. And I'd like to ask him a few questions about that. And first of all, I'd like to ask how you learned about building boats.
Probably about 12 years ago, I had a fella to... Me and him went together and built a boat. That's the first time I'd ever seen one built. And just watching him do it, I said, hey, I can do this. All of our family, all my family, my brothers, all of us, we're not carpenters, but we can pretty well watch somebody do something and do it. And we built that boat in 3 days, and of course, I wasn't handicapped then, but... I said, I can do this. So after watching him, I went to building my own. Now, I didn't make a bunch of good ones to start with. I made some bad boats to start off with. But I think right now in our area, in the Steinhatchee area, I have one as fine a fishing boat as anybody will ever want to jump in. So I said, look, well, I'm talking to myself. I guess it ain't too bad to talk to yourself. When you go to answering yourself, that's when it starts getting rough. But I thought I'd build a fiberglass mold off of my boat, and that's what I done. And I've made me a fiberglass one now. And I sold one. I hadn't made but two, one for myself and one for another guy that tried two other boats and wasn't satisfied with. But I basically picked it up by watching people. And picking up those critical numbers of where to put this and where to put that in a boat and doing all of that, gathering it up in my head. It ain't on paper. It's just in my head. And putting it all together basically is how I've learned how to do it. And I just enjoy boat building.
And what do you call that type of boat that you're building?
Well, it's called several different things up and down the coast of Florida. It's called a whale boat. It's called a net skiff. It's called a tunnel boat. I call it a bird dog. I guess the reason we call it a bird dog because it runs in shallow water, real shallow water. It can, with a smaller motor on it, I have run 25 horse Johnsons on this type of boat that I'm building over here. Except one that I'm building, the one that I fished was a bigger boat than this. It's a foot wider and 2 foot longer than the one that I'm working on here. But I'd probably say 4 inches of water you'd run with a 25 on it. And the reason why it done so good with that small motor on it, it's 7.5 foot wide and it's got a 7 foot stern in it. It's got to stay on top. If it moves, it's gone plain. And then when you're going into getting in the shallower water, the faster to go, I guess you're pushing them atoms together or something. I don't know what you're doing. But anyhow, I was well pleased with it. I'd planed 1,200 and 1,300 fish with that boat, and it a plywood one. And I was well pleased with it. I went to a 30 horse, which... Now, on your 25, you say, well, that sounds impossible for a kicker to run in 4 inches of water. The old-timey 25, the foot on it from the bottom of the skag to the cavitation plate was 7 inches. It was that big. So it's not impossible to run in 4 inches of water. And I really like the boat. Up in our area, we have a lot of rocks. And you've got to have something to stay on top of the rocks, I guess.
Yeah. Now, one of the most interesting features of this type of boat, this young lady was asking about it just a moment ago, has to do with where the engine is placed. Can you describe how that works out?
Well, it's put directly in the bow. It's on the bottom. It's 43 inches from the bow. 43 inches from the bow on the bottom. I guess it's more or less pulling the boat rather than pushing it, because there's a lot more boat behind it than there is ahead of it. But it's designed in that way that we got to have somewhere to put our net. You couldn't put a kicker way back there on the back of it and expect to go in the shallow water that we need to go in. There's been several designs made. For this type of fishing, down in South Florida, they have a boat. The kicker sets further back in the boat. It's still called a whale boat, but it probably set back 2 or 3 foot further back than mine does. But they fish in 7-8 foot of water probably all the time. In our area, on a big high tide, 6-7 foot on a calm night, that's our fishing. And 90% of the time, we're looking at 90% of the time we're looking at 3 foot of water on a high tide. So the boat that I build is basically built for shallow water running and shallow water fishing. I was talking to one of the fellas out there, and he was telling us about those 200s or something they have in South Florida. And I said, well, whenever he went aground with my boat, I'll go around him and fish around him, or fish up to him and talk with him and crank up and leave him while he's wondering when he's going to float off. I ain't saying that because I think I can do it. I know what my boats will do. I'm well pleased with it. Seems like a lot of people down in my area likes the boat that I build. I guess I'm pushing my boat, ain't I?
Now, some of these folks were here earlier today, and Theda's just started building that boat at, what, about 9:30 or 10 o'clock this morning, right?
Yeah, about
something like that.
About 10 we started on it, I guess.
Could you describe what the first steps are to setting up to build that boat?
I cut my bulkhead out first. You cut your bulkhead out where the kicker's going to sit right next to it, or your tunnel. I cut it out first, put it together. This boat, I had to alter my bulkhead because I usually build one, my boat's is a foot wider than this, and so I build a wider bulkhead to get that width out of it. But your bulkhead and your stern board and your bow stem to get started to where I'm at now is the biggest three things you got to have. And stern board, you got to know how wide you want it, basically to decide how. I figure 6 inches on the bottom's enough, 3 on each side. And that's what I build a bulkhead to work towards that. Sometimes it may not work that way. The boat that I have my fiberglass, it was just an accident. It was accidentally built, but it turned out to be perfect. And so I've came from that design to, I say it was an accident. It wasn't no accident of how wide I wanted it. The accident was made by the bulkhead. But your bulkhead and your stern board and your bow stem, getting that right is the most important things. I've made a mistake out there. Some boat builders can walk up there and see it. They'd have to get down and look. I got a mistake on this boat.
You don't have to tell what it is.
I wasn't going to tell you what it was.
Okay. I wonder if anyone in the audience has a question of Theodis about the boat he's building. Yes.
How many boats did you build before you got one? Just
probably about 5 or 6. No, I've always been hard-headed. You know, they say you pay for your own mistakes. I guess most of it came from my own thinking. I've seen other boats run and other boats perform, and I said I want one to stay on top of the water. Everybody else, whenever I went to this boat, everybody else was fishing a boat. Probably the widest was about 6'8", 6'6", something like that, at the widest place, and a 5.5-foot sternboard in it. I said, well, I want a stern in mine because that's where I'm going to be standing to take up my net. And up there where we fish, you got a falling water and you got what we call a jack-up. We have a jack-up up at home, jack-up for our kickers up at home. When you have to hit that jack up and the tide falling to strike your fish, you better have a boat that'll float to get back that net back on your boat and back out of there. Because we have about a 4-foot drop in our tide, and it don't stay there forever. So you better have a boat that'll float long enough. Reason I know that, I stayed there one night. I stayed there several nights, and just striking off with your jack up and not having the boat did float to get me off of there.
Does everyone understand what a kicker is? What's a kicker? Goose, what's a kicker?
A kicker's a regular kicker motor like you put on the back and put it up in the well.
Okay. Like I might call it an outboard motor, right? Okay. Now what's a jack up? I don't know what that is.
I done forgot his name. I was out there explaining to him. He said he had a jack up on his boat. He had the manhandle that motor up and stick that board underneath it. I said, well, I got a design for you. You won't have to be bothered up with that no more. He said he was thinking about doing something. I don't know what he called it, but he was going a different. I said, I know a way of doing it. It take just that long, and it'll be jacked up to where you want it. And you do it with your foot. It takes about an hour to build the thing. And if you build it out of stainless steel, you'll never have to build another one. And
is it a type of lift for lifting up
your
outboard?
It's a lift. It's a lift to lift your outboard. Even though it runs shallow, it's an outboard. It's a deal that you can lift that motor up another 4 or 5 inches. It's according to how shallow it is. Because the shallower it is, the more your boat falls over. So it obtains your water still. And it's just a dream to what all I've seen. There's a guy in Perry that sells a hydraulic jackup. It costs about $1,000, I think. But you got to be riding along there and decide to reach back there at your tunnel and push two buttons to get it. But this in here, you're looking at where you're going. You can hold it at night. You can hold your light in your hand. Because you're riding 90% of the time with your foot propped up on this jack-up lever. And just that quick, you can have it jacked up 5 inches, 4 to 5 inches. Just your motor humming, and you're humming along there, and you say, oomp, and that's it, and hits up.
You mean if you saw a stump coming or something like that, and you wanted to lift it, you could do it just as quick as that?
Just that quick, and you've done taking care of your problem as far as shallow water or rocks or whatever.
Okay. Well, we've learned what a jack-up and a kicker is, okay? Try to work that into conversation. Yeah.
What kind of steering mechanism do you have? Do you use the handle on the kicker?
Yes, ma'am. Commercial fishermen have a lot of trouble getting a handle out of one of these big cities. They're around Steinhatchee. Your coastal people has handles, but when you go to Tallahassee and say, I want a kicker with a handle on it, especially when you go beyond a 50 horse, they look at you like you're crazy. But mostly that's what we use is the handle. Some of us build an extension, a PVC pipe on them for, your handle. You've got to be looking right up over your bow. On this boat, you'll be looking right up over your bow. Right there, you can see what's going on. But in the big cities, they don't know what a handle is. And they've ordered them to stick on the back of these boats that run 70 miles an hour instead of a work boat. And I ain't never seen a handle, I don't reckon. But they're around home. They have to deal with us commercial fishermen all the time, and they have everything we need.
Any other questions? Well, tell us about the materials that you need to build your bird dock.
Well, I leave it up to the individual. This boat out here I'm building, it's being built out of pine. I've never built one out of pine. I call it CDX, and that's basically what it is. It's a good grade of CDX, but I usually build one. It's according to what the feller wants. If he wants it out of marine, I try and find marine. If he wants it out of AC, AC fur, I build it out of AC, and then we treat the inside of it with copper tox, and then we paint over that. Copper tox is a preservative to the wood. And then we paint over that, and it's just according to the individual what kind of material they want to build it out of. And I have one I can build out of all fiberglass.
Yes.
Well, that's sort of like a ski to start off with. It helps to pick up your boat. When you don't have Ned on the stern of one of these boats, they can be a little aggravating. But that's put into it to help. It's like the front of a ski whenever it's designed there to help pick that boat up itself. When you put the power to it, it's going to automatically climb out. When I get it pulled together, that bow in it won't be that far back. It'll probably be 2 or 3 foot further to the front. It'll still bow, but hit from probably about 8 or 10 foot of it'll be flat. It's got to have a surface somewhere to settle down on to run. But
when you cut the sides out,
did you
cut it in that?
No, ma'am. The sides are just as straight as that thing right there. That's came from your flare. It's come from your flare and your cut back on your bow. That's where that rounding's come from.
Yes, over here.
What layup? I use roving and matting's all I use. It's hand laid. No, ma'am. Roving's what they call cloth. It's just I don't know how they call it, but you can get it as thick as you want it. The roving. Roving is your strength. That's what it is. Or you can take your matting, normally take your matting, and just tear it after it sets up. You don't do roving that way. I put 6 on the bottom, and after putting that 6 on the bottom, I take a 1x8. On my fiberglass boat, it's 36 inches from the outside of the boat, the widest place to the tunnel. It's 36 inches. Well, fiberglass is real flimsy. It's strong, but it's flimsy. So down the middle of that, I take a 1x8 pressure treated 1x8, 14 foot long, and I lay it down the middle of that, and I fiberglass it in. I put 3 layers over that, a layer of roving and 2 matting, sometimes 3 matting over that 1 layer of roving. And that stops your bottom from wiggling and working. And I didn't do it to mine, and I done it to this friend, this other feller. He didn't like it, didn't like my, but he seen my boat and rode in it, and he didn't like mine in the waves. The bottom of it just does like this in my boat. He says, "I don't like that." I said, "Well, I got a remedy for that." So I put the boards in there. Now, his boat will run, don't get me wrong, it'll fly. But I hadn't understood why it made that boat pick up. It picks up more. It picks up more than my boat does for some reason. The bow of it picks up. It just runs shallower, I guess you'd say. But the bottom don't breathe no more. It don't work with the waves and all that. But There's no difference in the other than that I know of. I told him, I said, when I built mine, and I think I had mine about a month or a month and a half, 2 months, something like that, I said, and he came to me, I said, I know some improvements in my boat by building it and already working it that'll help your boat perform better. And so I put all them additives to it. Every boat I've built so far, if it's built by wood or built by fiberglass, I find a way somehow or another to improve it. Because I see the mistakes in my own. I glass in a tube of six on each side of my tunnel. There'll be two in this, and they won't be glassed in, but there'll be two of them there. They run right down beside the tunnel. That strengthens your bottom. Your boat's wide, you got to have something to strengthen it, or hit just all of it do like this. And I on this boat, I'll have tube of sixes standing up this way, downside of my tunnel, and that stops your boat from the belly of it breathing all the time.
Question over here.
What gives it, what do you think is better, having it flex like yours or having it more sturdy as far as the boat lasts?
That's all I do.
More durable, have it firm or flex?
Well, I don't know. I like my boat. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like that flimsy part about it. I've run it over rocks and run it plumb out, you know, the side. It just come out of the water and flop back down and didn't go through the fiberglass. Well, I wouldn't know that. Now, I hadn't rode in his boat that much. Matter of fact, I hadn't rode in his boat over probably a mile. I couldn't tell you as far as the ride, because first of all, you're sitting up there taking the jolt of anything that comes. You're the first fella to get the indication of what kind of seas you're in.
Yes.
What kind of a bottom on a boat is best for little rough seas? Something that's partially formed and then flat versus the layer on both his feet, pretty much.
For rough seas, you want a V-bottom boat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you intend to go in rough water, these boats here ain't built for rough water. If you're going in rough water, you want a V-bottom boat. And if you're going far enough offshore, you want it V'd all the way to the back.
Of course, this bird dog that Theodis is building, just like the two local boats over here, the Glade Skiff and the other boat that are over here in the display, are built according to local informal rules that are passed down to suit certain conditions, like the shallow waters and the type of fishing that Theodis and the fishermen around him use. Just like those craft are built to a certain design using certain materials that suit other areas, usually very well. And these ideas evolve over time as builders like Theodis try to get a better match between the boat and the place and the type of use that is being put to. Any final questions? We're about ready to end this workshop here today. Any last questions? Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for coming this afternoon, and I especially want to thank Theodis Corbin for taking this time to explain very precisely the type of work that he's doing, and there are probably a lot more things he could tell us about the steps of construction and design that go into a boat like this. I hope you come back Saturday and Sunday to see this boat take shape and be completed. Right? By Sunday, you're going to have
it done? I'll be done all I'm going to do.
Okay. Can we have a nice round of applause for Theodis here today?
Thank you.